Let's begin with prayer, and then we're going to turn to the Word of God this morning. Lord, I thank you for the privilege that we have to gather together. Lord, thank you for the body of Christ, this church family. What a privilege we have to meet freely like this. Father, we give you praise. You are the one who deserves praise. Lord, thank you for Chuck and what he has shared this morning. Thank you for the way that you are using my secret double and just the work that he is a part of in Latvia and also here, right here in our own home at Oregon State University. Lord, use us to advance your kingdom, to spread the gospel, the truth of the gospel. May people come to understand that we are needy of a relationship with you. Only you will satisfy. Lord, I pray that you would guide my words right now this morning. May my words be your words. I pray that I would be faithful to proclaim the truth. And Lord, now I ask that you would speak to each of us. May we come with open and receptive hearts to how your Spirit will lead us this morning, knowing that your Spirit wants to work among us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We can advance to the very first slide here. A couple weeks ago, before I headed out on some vacation time, I was asked, what are you going to be preaching on when you get back? And my thought, I am a planner. Matter of fact, when I was in between my youth pastorate and senior pastorate, the question I had right away was, can I do this? Can I do this? And so I was trying to figure out, okay, how might I do this? And so I tried to put together like a 5-year plan. What are the things that I would want a church family to know and be taught? What are some of those things? And I was wrestling on my own in that way. And one of the things that I put was, actually Esther, where we just left off, was really not part of the immediate plan. So my plans have to be flexible enough to change and figure out, is this what I believe the church family needs to hear right now? My next plan, though, was to go with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to continue looking at the exile and things that we learn, because I really believe there's a lot that we can learn when we look at the exile, those who were living in Babylon. And we will eventually get there somewhere in the next year or two, I really believe. But as Kelsey and I talked, because Kelsey and I talk about this stuff often, we both just kind of said, I don't really think that's what Kingwood needs right now. I don't really feel like that's where they're at. And so before vacation, I was thinking, well, maybe we'll land on prayer. That's the direction I'll go. We'll be talking about prayer. And then as I was on vacation, I was thinking about it, and I was wrestling, Lord, what do you want me to preach on? And I thought, I don't feel as though prayer is what I should be preaching on right now. Now, mind you, in January, I said, let's make 2019 a year of prayer. And so that continues. That should continue. And I really want us individually to be saying, yes, I devote myself to prayer. I should be. But I really felt the Lord was saying, this is what I should be sharing. And so for today and the next 2 weeks, I want you to consider with me the source of my strength. What is the source of my strength? When you hear the word strength, what comes to your mind? What comes to your mind? Well, perhaps, and Solomon, you can advance these slides here. Perhaps it is Samson. You know, if you have a biblical background, then you might be thinking, well, he was the strongest guy. You know, you read through the Old Testament and you realize that Samson was one buff dude. He was big. And it's true. He was. Or maybe you look at more recent history and you probably don't know this one, but Louis Sir, who lived 1863 to 1912. He is recorded as being the strongest man around. He actually backlifted 4,337 pounds. That's a lot of weight. Now, there's some other people who are, it's been declared that they have actually lifted more, but no one was around to see them do it. Okay, so this guy is the one who actually is credited as being the most, in recent history, the strongest guy. I did not know about this, but there's a show on HGTV called The Strongest Man in History. Next slide. The Strongest Man in History. Has anyone heard of this show or not? Okay, a couple of you have heard of this show. It aired in July, I believe, of this last summer here. The Strongest Man in History. I don't understand a whole lot about the show because I haven't seen it. But this is something of recent. Strong guys, four really big strong men who are just, I think, trying to prove that they are the strongest, stronger than anyone else. Next slide, I think of, for me as a teenager, 1991, I went to the Salem Armory and watched what was called the Power Team. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. A Christian group of men, now they have ladies as well, who tour the country and they break bricks and they rip phone books. And they take, this guy right here is actually taking a frying pan and he's curling it. He's rolling it up. They just do crazy stuff like that to show off how strong they are. But in this case, they're doing it for Jesus. They're doing this for Christ. And so at the end of their time, in 1991, I was an eighth grader. At that point, they gave the gospel, and I actually brought a friend of mine who had no church background, and he gave his life to Christ at the Power Team. So I really see this as being something that is good. A little weird, but it still is. I think it's pretty good. All right. Strength. You might think and hear of strength and think of that. Muscle. Strong. Being physically strong. But consider this word running deeper than only physical strength. We might think in terms of strength as being trustworthiness. Is it strong to be trustworthy? I think it is. Or perhaps we would think of creativity as being a strength. Or determination. That is strength as well. How about self-control? That too is strength. I think of people who have endured hardship, such as living through a war. That required strength. Or I think of people I've talked with who lived through the Great Depression. Strength was required. Yesterday, on a commercial, I saw a short commercial, and it was a Holocaust survivor. That is extreme hardship, and that requires extreme strength. I'm going to give a definition here, advance two slides. Strength is, according to Webster's dictionary, the quality or state of being physically strong. That's the Power Team. That is muscles. And that is part of strength, to be physically strong. But this second definition here goes deeper. The capacity to withstand great force or pressure. The ability to withstand great force or pressure. Are you strong in that regard? Thinking further, I want you to answer this question on your own. When life presents you with great difficulty, great pressure, where do you find your strength? Where do you find your strength when confronted with great pressure? The next five slides give some options, and I think they run deeper. The very first is we might look to people. I look to people. If I get in a crunch, if I'm having a difficult time, where am I most likely to turn first? Almost always, believer or unbeliever, we all do the same. We run to people. We run to people. I'm looking to someone else to help me out. Help me. I need some help. Be some strength for me. Help me in the midst of this. Sometimes if you're on Facebook or Instagram or any kind of social media, we see this. I'm having a hard day. What are we saying? What are we looking for? Someone please comment and tell me you're going to be okay. We're looking for that. I think this is instinctive of people. We look to others to find strength. Is this bad? Not necessarily fully bad, is it? Some of us need to learn to rely on other people in a greater way. Have you ever heard this said before? If you can't learn to accept help from other people, you probably can't accept help from God. I think there's some truth in that. I've heard that said a number of times. People are good. God has given us the gift of people, the gift of relationship, and we should look to other people. Galatians 6 verse 2 tells us to carry each other's burdens. And in so doing, you fulfill the law. You should carry each other's burdens. Ecclesiastes 4 verses 20 or verses 9 through 12 tells us that two people are better than one. It's good. Two are good. Proverbs 27 verse 17 tells us that just like iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another person. People are good. This is good. John 15 verse 12, Jesus told us that we are to love one another just as he has loved us. So, people are good. And we should look to one another, but if we are simply finding our source of strength in people, I really believe we're going to be very discouraged because people let us down. A second thing that we might look to for a source of strength, and you might laugh at this a little bit, but government. Do we ever look to the government to solve our problems? Come on, get your act together. You are in charge of taking care of us. Do a better job. And we say, my source of strength is really, we wouldn't say it that way, but my source of strength is in government. Meaning whoever's in the Oval Office, if it's someone I like, I feel good. And if it's someone I don't like, I want to run and hide. If this is the attitude that we have, perhaps we are looking too much to government to be our source of strength, and we will be let down. Third option, medicine. I don't know how else to say it other than medicine. Back in 2011, I got sick with valley fever, and my attitude, I went to the doctor, and my attitude was, Doc, give me something to help me get over this. I knew I was feeling crummy. I knew I felt like I had the flu, and I thought, okay, you're a doctor. You're paid to know what I'm supposed to have. Give me the right kind of medication so I'm better. And the doctors, for the next 2 years, tried to figure out what's wrong with Nate. Some of you might be trying to figure out what's wrong with Nate. They spent 2 years trying to figure it out. And eventually, they kind of figured this out. But you know what? There was part of me, I really believe that within like a week, I'll be better. Because I live in America. There's been tons of advances in medicine and in science. They will know exactly what to do. And they were a little bit dumbfounded. I don't know what to do. If my source of strength is in, I'll just go to the doctor. and you'll give me what I need, I could be let down. I could seriously be let down. Now, I don't believe that the Bible is opposed to medicine. Medicine appears in the Bible about a dozen times. And I don't think it ever speaks unfavorably about it. Think about this. One of the guys who wrote two books of the Bible, he's a physician. He's a doctor. I think that it's okay. But if my source of strength is in a doctor, I have put my source of strength in the wrong place. I'm going to be discouraged. In the book of 2 Chronicles, King Asa is recorded to have been sick, and he went to consult only the physicians of his day. And it says, it notes, he did not seek the Lord. The problem is not that he went to physicians. The problem is that as he was going to physicians, he was neglecting the Lord. The Lord is ultimately the one who brings healing. If we look to medicine as being my strength, we are going to be let down. How about this fourth one? The church. The church is good, right? Shouldn't we look to the church? Wouldn't we say, well, find your strength in the church? Well, it's true that the church is good. It's true that God established the church. It's true that the church was instituted by him. It's true that we are instructed even in Scripture to gather and not neglect the church. This is true. It's also true that the church is compared to a body, a physical body. And just like my physical body can't say, well, parts of the body, the foot is not needed because I'm the hand, that would be ridiculous. No, we all need each other. So in the church, I need you and you need me. This works both ways. The church is good, but the church is people. I'm flawed. And so are you. And because of that, there can be frustration in the church. And if I find my source of strength, and if I say it's from the church, I'm going to be disappointed. I'll be the first to tell you as your pastor, you're going to be disappointed. The church can let you down. My source of strength does not come from church. The fifth is self. See, there's part of us that might say, okay, I already get it. People let me down. The government lets me down. The church lets me down. And medicine lets me down. So what am I left with? I turn inward. I turn to myself because I know I can at least trust myself. I know that I know what I want. I know that I'm looking out for number one, so I'm turning inward. I'll look to me. Wow, I think that if we do that, this too is extremely futile. It's in vain because we are not nearly as great as we want to think that we are. And even look at ourselves, how we can be a pendulum swinging back and forth on what we believe to be true or what we believe about life. We ourselves can be inconsistent if we look inward. I believe it gets very empty. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Isaiah. These 3 weeks, I want to look at three different passages with you. The very first passage I want us to look at is Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 40. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible in the pew rack in front of you. You are welcome to follow along. Or if it's easier, you're welcome to just simply listen. But I want us to hear this passage. This is written through the prophet Isaiah, written in a time of history where Israel was really in trouble. There was a threat of the Assyrians invading them. There was also a future threat of the Babylonians invading them and taking them into captivity. And this all eventually happened. And yet I find it interesting that words of strength are given in the midst of this all. This is when these words are given. Look at Isaiah chapter 40, verses 25 through 31. We'll work through this together. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? That is a legitimate question, isn't it? This is God speaking, the Holy One. Who are you going to compare me to? Who can you compare me to? The answer is no one. You cannot compare me. We sang a song this morning. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. God has no equal. We cannot compare him to anyone. Try. You can try, but there is no one to compare him to. He is above all, beyond all. Verse 26. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? The answer, he who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Stop there. When you get discouraged, when you get weary, when you get worn out, adjust your eyes and look at the work of the Creator. Look at the Creator. Look at what he has accomplished. Look at the stars. Consider the vast universe. I was looking this last week at the galaxies. How many stars are there? And at one time, it was a very small number that we were assuming are out there. But we know that there are 10 billion galaxies in the observable universe currently right now. I wonder what we'll know in 50 or 100 years from now. And there are 100 billion stars per galaxy, estimating the number of stars to be at 1 billion trillion. That's this number over here. That is currently what we know about. And yet God, maker and creator, knows each of the stars. He not only knows about them, the Bible that the prophet Isaiah is saying, he actually gave each star a name. I can't even comprehend that. You gave all those a name? I am unable to even understand that. But when you're feeling weary, consider God, who made the universe. Consider him. Consider his power. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? And let's not be too fast just to say, yeah, that was Israel's problem. Because I think that we can complain in the same way. Why do you complain? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Have you been there? God, you don't even see me. You don't even know what I'm going through. I think that because we are insignificant, I haven't heard yet Steve's message that he gave last week. I'm looking really forward to hearing it. But I know the direction that he was looking at going a bit. And I believe that he talked about sometimes we feel a little bit insignificant. We can feel insignificant because of that. That can make us feel insignificant. And yet this understanding that God is the one who has actually given each star a name puts a different spin on all of this. Jesus went on to say in the New Testament, Even the very number of hairs on your head has been counted. God knows every one of those. So while God has created a vast universe, He cares about the little intricate details of our life, including my hair, your hair, the stars. God cares about this. Do you not know in verse 28, it is written in such a way, come on, don't you know this? You should know this. Come on. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. And his understanding, no one can fathom. We cannot understand his understanding. His ways, Isaiah tells us just a few chapters later, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They go beyond us. I get nervous whenever I hear someone that kind of feels like they've figured God out. And you should be nervous about that too. Because his ways are beyond ours. Is there mystery in God? Yes, and there should be, because he is supernatural. And my brain is, I can't figure him out. I cannot understand him. But I do know this about him. He doesn't grow tired. He doesn't grow weary. He doesn't do that. And he sees you. He knows what you're going through. God gives strength, verse 29, to the weary, and increases the power of the weak. Notice what it does not say. It does not say he gives strength to those who have plenty of energy. No, it says he gives strength to those who are weak. And it does not say that he increases the power of those who are already strong. No, he increases the power of those who are weak. Are you weak? If you are weak, you are smart. Because the truth is, we're all weak. If we do not understand that we are weak, we only fool ourselves. But when we understand that we are weak, and when we understand that, God, I'm feeling rather weary right now, God reaches down and he says, I have strength. My strength can be your strength. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men fall and stumble. Have you ever known a little kid who is just go, 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 go? And you just think, when is this kid ever going to take a chill pill? When is this kid ever going to slow down? You know what? If you hang out with them long enough, they do. All of a sudden they crash. And when they crash hard and they're out. Because this is true. Even youth have a point where they turn off. Takes a while longer, but eventually they turn off. They have to get rest. They fall asleep. Not so with God. He doesn't work that way. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. They will do the impossible. Because this is impossible. But God enables us to do the impossible. How? By our hope being in the Lord. Is your hope in the Lord? I'm going to suggest something, and you do what you want with this. Because I don't want to just simply point the finger. If I do that, know that there are plenty of fingers pointing back at me. Mine and all of yours. If we are feeling weary, I don't know if this is always true, but if I'm feeling weary, if you are feeling weary, is it possible that we have placed our hope in something else other than God? Is it possible that we are looking to people? Is it possible that we are looking to government? Is it possible that we are looking to the church? Is it possible that we're looking to medicine? Is it possible that we are looking to ourselves to provide my source of strength? Because whenever I do this, I grow weary. And you do too. This is a hard one because this is where we know what we are to do. And we often fail to do it. Matter of fact, a week goes by and we realize, and there are times where I preach the message and then Thursday comes and I say, oh, I was looking to people more than I should have been. And that's why I'm growing weary. My hope and your hope needs to be anchored in the Lord. He is the one that does not grow tired. He's the one that does not grow weary. May his strength be our strength. We're going to continue this study the next 2 weeks here, looking at what God gives us from his word in regards to his strength being our strength, because he wants to give it to us. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the source of strength. And while we intellectually know this to be true, it is very easy for us to look elsewhere to find our strength. Lord, if that is true of us from this last week, convict us of that right now. And I trust that your Spirit has been speaking to us. Lord, if we are weary because life has thrown difficulty at us far more than what we feel like it has thrown at us before, may we run to you, recognizing that you are the source of our strength. Lord, we love you. Empower us right now. In the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen.